All right. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening, everyone, yet again. And as always, I hope that everyone is having a blessed evening as we are. We'd like to say praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for yet another day in the land of the living and another chance to get our acts together. He gives us so many chances and we are not deserving of any of them. But today is March 21st, 2024, and week 268. If you're new around here, welcome to Joy in the Midst of the Storm. This is a program where we like to do weekly live stream Bible studies and shortly upload audio versions to every major podcast platform shortly thereafter. And if you've been with us for a while, you know the drill. As we always like to say, welcome back. Thank you guys for tuning in and week out, trying to hear what thus says the Lord. We have two early comments, both from David. Firstly, he says, praise the Lord, everyone. Hope everyone is having a great day in the Lord. So praise the Lord to you too. And then he says, sorry, I missed Monday night, but I was on the road traveling, but I did listen to the Bible study on the gospel. So that is good. And that's such a great thing that all of these studies are recorded. So we know life happens. You're busy. You don't have to apologize for missing any of the live streams or Bible studies, because we can understand how it can get sometimes, but they are recorded. So if anybody misses for any reason, jmsbible.com has all of our messages. So thank you, David. Praise the Lord for you. Praise the Lord to you. And thank you for tuning in and being among the early comments. So as you can see from the title, it says Weightier Matters. So without any further ado, I'm going to pass it over to Minister Tony Banks. We can go ahead and get started with this evening's message. As always, we pray that you guys get something out of it.
Thank you, Melvin. As always, let's go into a word of prayer before we get kicked off tonight. Gracious Lord, we come before your throne of grace, asking that first and foremost, Lord, we want to thank you, Lord. Help us to always take a moment, take time to just offer praise and thanksgiving unto you for all that you did for us, Lord. Lord, you continue to do things for us that we had no earthly idea that you would even do them for us. We've seen you do things for other people, and oftentimes we feel that you will do them for them. But for us, Lord, it amazes us. It truly just causes us to feel so appreciative when you do things for us. So Lord, help us to never forget to thank you for what you did for us. Lord, we're praying that no matter what happens to us in this life, continually remind us that there is a reason to have joy in the midst of every storm, trial, and tribulation. Lord, we're praying for the Bible study tonight, that your word would go forth, that you alone would increase and that we would all decrease. Lord, we're praying for revelation, Lord. We're praying that our eyes would be open to things that have been hidden since the foundation of the world, Lord. We're praying that you would just take us to new levels, Lord, that you would help us to be a light to someone around us, Lord. Help us to bring forth fruit, Lord, that we would show someone around us that you still reign, that you're still on the throne, that you are still yet alive. He that was dead, now you're alive forevermore. Lord, we're praying all these blessings in your magnificent name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
God bless each of you for tuning in with us. As Melvin did mention, I did want to reiterate that again, because that is so important. And Melvin has done a fantastic job of putting together the website, as well as compiling all of the streams, whether it be on Facebook or whether it be the streams that we do on Monday night Zoom Bible studies. They are all recorded and you can find those. And so I do want to encourage you to do that, especially even in those times where you're looking for some insight on particular scriptures. If we have covered those, you can go and search those scriptures and find Bible studies where those scriptures are referenced and where we've talked at least somewhat on those scriptures. And so I do utilize that type of feature. So I do appreciate those things that my co-host here, Melvin, has done. And so I hope that you guys would utilize those things, because it is something that God has blessed us with, technology. You know, I'm pretty sure they did not have access to this type of thing in the past. They would have to have someone write them a letter, or they would have to go and physically talk to someone in person to be able to discuss these scriptures. But now God has made it possible so that even if it's a topic or even if it's a particular set of scripture that you would like to hear about, you can, even from your own home. It can be 1 a.m. in the morning in your own home. You can pull those scriptures up, pull the Bible study up that relates to those scriptures, and you can dig into the Word of God. And so God has truly blessed us with some incredible things, and it would be a shame for us to not actually use them, you know, to not actually benefit from these things that God has given us an opportunity to use. It would truly be a travesty. And so I'm hoping and praying that we would all take notice of it and like I said, just utilize it. So may God bless each of you yet again for being with us tonight. We're going to deal with some things tonight. We're talking about the weightier matters. You know, even as I just mentioned to you about the Bible studies that you can look up, you know, these Bible studies hold weight. They are extremely important. There's a reason that we're coming on every week. And I can tell you it's not for fun. I don't do this for pure fun. Now, I do enjoy it. So please don't misunderstand me. But I don't do this just for my own good pleasure, just because I've got nothing else to do and I'm bored. No, it's not that at all. It's because this is important. And I truly believe that this is the will of God. And so this is why we do this. Souls are at stake. Salvation is at stake. And so this is why we're doing this week in and week out, even spending our own money. Because as we've said before, we do spend money just to bring these Bible studies to you. We're streaming to three different platforms, three different pages at least. And so we do spend money on these things, but we feel it's worth it. And so that's why we continue to do it, whether someone chooses to give or not. Now, we appreciate all donations. We don't come on here and plead with people to donate, because whether somebody gives or not, God is still going to bless. Now, we encourage people to give, but God is going to bless nonetheless. And so that's why we do this. And so let's get into it tonight. We're going to come from the book of Matthew, chapter 23, because sometimes, in fact, many times, and it's happened to me now. So everything that I say, at least most of it, I found myself in these predicaments. I found myself wearing these shoes, if you will. I found myself falling victim to committing these crimes against God. And so what we're dealing with tonight is how, as people, there are things that are very important in the grand scheme of things. There are things as it pertains to God. There are things that are very important to God. But to us, it's not that important. And you know, that happens in our everyday life. There are some things that we personally might feel is not that important, but someone else around us, they feel otherwise. I always think about where Melvin and I, where we used to live, and the speed limit. You know, for the life of us, we couldn't figure out why the speed limit was so slow on a particular road. But we felt in our minds, look, this isn't that important. We should certainly have a higher speed than this. And maybe we were wrong or maybe we were right. But at the end of the day, the ones who actually made the decisions, they make the decisions on the speed, they weighted totally different than what we weighted. And so what happened was we needed to change our perspective to theirs, or we faced the consequences. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. So we've got to get with God's plan, or unfortunately, there is going to be a cost that we'll have to pay. And I don't know about you, but I've got speeding tickets before, and I really did not like the cost that I had to pay. So don't allow your salvation to be this way. You don't want to pay this cost, because the cost we're talking about is eternal damnation. We're talking about eternal separation from God. We're talking about the lake of fire, hell, burning with fire and brimstone, where the scriptures declare that there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. People are going to be sad. People are going to be tormented and miserable. You don't want to pay that cost. And so that's why we must change our perspective and find out what God feels is important. And you need to make that important in your life. I know right now you might say, it's not that big of a deal. But I'm urging you, what God declares is a big deal, we need to make it a big deal in our lives. So we're going to look at some things Jesus mentioned tonight, Melvin, from the book of Matthew 23 and 23. We're going to get the 23s right tonight. Matthew 23 and 23. Let's see what it says, Melvin.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. He called them hypocrites. You know, Jesus, he was tough. People portray Jesus as just this extremely loving figure, and he was now. But people don't depict this part about him. See, he called people out, especially these Pharisees and scribes. He let them know, you guys are hypocrites. You know, if I went into churches today, Melvin, churches all over the world, and I went in and told them, look, you guys are hypocrites. Look, they run me out of every church I went into. And that's what they did to Jesus. But he was honest about this. He said, woe unto you, you hypocrites. Read for us, Melvin.
For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law.
And have omitted the weightier matters of the law. You know, I've seen that word omit before, and you delete something, you remove something. See, we cannot come into God's kingdom and pick and choose what things are important. We can't do it. Just because of how we feel about things. So he said, you have omitted the weightier matters of the law.
Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone.
You know, what I love about this is, although he declared judgment, mercy, and faith to be weightier, although he declared that, he said, no, you needed to do those other things also. It's not that you should have left those other things out, but the problem came in when you started omitting things, when you started picking and choosing which things you were going to do, which rules you were going to abide by. You know, people think it's not right, or they don't have to pay their tithe. See, they're omitting some things. Now here, Jesus is dealing with some people who paid their tithes. Somebody that got into the $50 tithes line. They come up with all kind of mess today, man. Somebody that got into the line and in churches now, people want to raise their hand. They say, oh, I can't get on this tonight. But people come up with all types of tricks, all types of schemes. And so now I'll see videos of people saying, oh, I feel the Lord is telling us it's $100 in the house tonight. There's $100 line that's going to be formed. And so people are raising their hands. They're getting up and they're letting people know, hey, I'm putting in $100 bill here. See, some people want to do those things so they can look good. We're going to get into that. He said, you have omitted the weightier things. But It's not that you shouldn't have done the other things as well, but you're missing the best part. See, you're missing the most important parts. Not that paying your tithes is wrong. Not that you shouldn't do that. Because he told us if we would, he'd open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. It's right now. But somebody wants to pay their tithes and still treat people wrong. That's not right. So we're going to keep reading here, Melvin. Pick up verse 24 for us.
Ye blind gods, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel.
Ye blind guys. You know, Jesus, he's dealing with the Pharisees. And for all who doesn't understand the position of the Pharisees, he tells us in verse 1, he said, the Pharisees and scribes, they sit in Moses' seat. So you'd have to understand Moses' role. See, Moses' job was to guide the people. That's what his job was, to lead them out of captivity, to preach to them this gospel. We dealt with the gospel Monday in Bible study. It was Moses' job to tell them about the gospel, to teach them about God, and lead them out of captivity, lead them out of poverty, lead them out of slavery into the promised land, into a place where God was wanting to make their lives better. That's where Jesus is saying the Pharisees, they're in this position. In his day, they were in this position. He said, your job is to guide these people to a better life. That's what the preacher's job is. See, we don't really even understand as a society, as a people, as humans, we don't even understand what the role of a preacher is. You know, I seen something and, you know, there are some terrible things that are happening. There are some terrible things happening all around the world. And we are running to all types of professionals at their crafts. And now I'm not against these things. So please don't misunderstand me. But if somebody's struggling with something, struggling with some type of depression or anything of that nature, we say, oh, you just need some counseling. I agree. But we're going to send them to who we deem as professionals. But at what point will we send them to the guy that God sent? At what point will we say, you know what? You need to talk to our pastor so they can try to lead you in the right direction. If you want to go to the counseling, okay. But when do we receive godly counsel? See, look, if you want to talk about a professional, I don't know a better professional than God himself. And the one who God sent, I don't know a better professional. Now, I'm not telling you your pastor's, he's going to know psychology and all of this other stuff. I'm not telling you that at all. But I am telling you, the Bible declares there's safety in the multitude of counselors. He's talking about God's counsel. So, we're omitting the weightier things. See, our judgment is off. This is the problem that's going on. Our judgment is off. He said, look, judgment, mercy, and faith. Every day we're using judgment. Every day we're using some type of judgment. Whenever I come to a light, and the light was green and it changes to yellow or whatever, the light changes. Now I've got to use my judgment. Do I need to stop right here? Or can I make it through? See, we're using judgment every day. Every day. When the light turns red, I'm going to use my judgment and say, I've got to stop. Jesus told us in another place, he said, judge righteously. See, somebody's got us deceived and think we're not supposed to judge anything. Go and read that, man. We'll come back over here. Run over to John 7 and 24. I want to make sure I show people that, because a lot of things, if you say it, somebody won't believe it. But I'm going to let you look at the scripture and see if you will believe what the scripture says about these things. See, we're talking about the weightier matters. And this is the first one that Jesus mentioned. He said judgment. We need to have a sense of godly discernment. That's all he's talking about. Let's pick it up in John 7 and 24, Melvin.
Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Now, this is God giving us, through the mouth of Jesus, the right to judge. So the next time somebody tell you, oh, you can't judge me, you might not need to tell them this. I don't want to. He said, judge not according to appearance. Don't look at how something appears. He said, but judge righteous judgment. Judge things according to the scripture. We should be comparing when whatever situation we find ourselves in, we should be looking at the scripture to make an accurate judgment. To make an accurate judgment. Because these are Jesus' words. We say we believe in Jesus. Are you going to believe this? This is the problem, he told the blind Pharisees, the blind guys, the person who's supposed to be leading you. These were preachers now. There's so many things we could talk about tonight. I know I can't talk about everything, but Jesus called them blind guides because they were leading people. You know, I don't want to be led by anyone who doesn't have good judgment. Because every day you've got to make some judgment, some decisions based off of how you think you should make a choice. I don't want to be led by someone who does not have godly discernment, godly judgment. This is what Jesus is telling us. Judge not according to the appearance. Even back in the Old Testament, the people, they wanted a king. They wanted a king. And God sent the prophet down to David's house, Samuel. He sent the prophet down to David's father's house. And the first man he seen, he thought surely this had to be the new king. King Saul was about to be replaced. And Samuel just knew this is the one. But God said, look not on his countenance. Don't look at what he appears like. Look, you need righteous judgment. You need to follow what I'm telling you. That's what God was saying. That's what I need. Every day I need the discernment of God. I need God to lead me to make decisions. I need God to lead me with everything I do. Even if it could be something as simple as going to the grocery store. Look, I need God to lead me in the right direction. I don't want to go to the wrong place. There's no telling what can happen. I can have an accident. Somebody rob me. It's all types of things that can go wrong when you're not being led by the judgment of God. Because then you get outside of the safety zone. You get outside of his protection. If you go back to the book of Job, and we're not going to do it, but Job, Satan told God, he said, you've got a hedge around this fellow. You're protecting him from so much. I want to get my hands on him. See, the devil wants to, he told Peter, Jesus told Peter, Satan desires to sift him as wheat. See, he wanted to do that not only to Peter, not only to Job, but to you also. He wants to get his hands on you. And if we get outside of God's safety, if we use the wrong judgment, making the wrong decisions day and night, look, we'll get in trouble. You know, I recently seen, well, let me just go this way. You know, you can end up with no place to live just because of your decisions. You can end up homeless because of some bad decisions that you make. At the time, we're thinking these are good decisions. I can't tell you how many decisions I've made. And at the time, I'm thinking this is the best decision. Surely this is right. But because I was not being led by God, those decisions came back to hurt me. So Jesus now, he tells us how to judge situations, how to judge how we should handle things. It has to be according to the book. See, these are the weightier matters. Every day we're making decisions based on our judgment, based on how we perceive a situation. And we're making the wrong decision every day. You know, the scripture tells us, one of my favorite scriptures, I feel like I've got a lot of favorite scriptures, but one of my favorite scriptures, he said, is not in man to direct his own step. Man, what he's telling us is man's judgment is off. Man's judgment is so backwards. And we don't even realize it. Our judgment is so off. We think and we just know we've got life figured out. You talk to people, they said, look, I've been living 20 years. I've been living 30 years. As God knows, the older we get, we just really feel we've got it figured out then. I've been on this earth 50 years. I know what I'm doing. But I still hear the words of the Lord. He said, it's not in you to direct your own step. Your judgment is still off. I don't care if you've been here for 100 years. Your judgment is still off. It still doesn't line up with what God says. Until we get in this book and learn God's judgment, because we are people who judge based off what it looks like, the appearance. So let's go back to where we were, Melvin. Back to where we were, Matthew 23. And read verse 24 for us again. Matthew 23 and 24.
Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel.
You strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Look, the things that you really should be doing, you having a hard time doing those. The things that God really wants us to be doing, the things that God puts an emphasis on us doing, we're having a hard time doing them. But the more difficult things, we make sure to get those done. You know, as you look at people, and I'm telling you, we are a backwards people. I'm talking about every culture, every race, every ethnicity. It does not matter. It's not one specific group, because people love to pick on the other folks' group. The men love to pick on the women. The women love to pick on the men. We all want to pick on someone else. But no, this is talking about us all. We all fall into this category. We're backwards. He said, you're straining at a gnat. And a whole camel, you can swallow the camel down. You know, there are people who, there are criminals. I seen a video of a young guy, probably around 18 years old, 19 years old. He went into Walmart and he trying to swallow a camel. And he's doing it too. He went into Walmart and this man is filling all his clothing with all types of items. He's getting cell phone cases. He's stealing shirts. He's going on this aisle, stealing that. He's stealing all types of things. He's working so hard to do it. So hard to do it. But you know what? People will not go in and get a job. See, that's the easier thing to do. But as people, we will go and do something two and three times harder. This is what he's talking about. We're struggling to do the easier thing. There are criminals that sit at home all day scamming people. And they're putting in a lot of time to do it. But suppose those same people use their skills for something good. You know, I've been around people that do illegal things as far as the law is concerned. I've been around all types of people. People who have sold drugs, people who have got involved with that type of activity. And you know what? Though a lot of those people, if not all of them, I say just really all of them, because the Bible tells us the way of the transgressor is hard. See, swallowing a camel is hard, but people are doing it. The way of the transgressor is hard. There are people that I've been around. Every moment they have to be on alert because they feel somebody's out to catch them. Somebody's out to get them. The police are chasing after them. Every time they see a police officer, they get nervous. Every time they hear a knock on the door, they get nervous. Whenever they see a number on the phone they never seen before, they're thinking, oh, this must be the feds. See, it's hard living this type of life. But when you would just be obedient to God. Look, my life has never been easier. I can't speak for somebody else, but when I decided to live for God, my life has never been easier. I no longer go and waste all my money on alcohol now. See, my life's easier. I'm not trying to choke down a cold camel. I'm not doing that anymore. It's so much easier. Jesus told us, he said, his burden is light. His yoke is light. It's so much easier on this side. But our judgment is off. Our judgment is totally off. We feel that there are people that are still on the fence, still trying to figure out, do I really want to follow God? They say, it just don't seem as fun on that side. Because your judgment is off. He said, you mean to tell me I got to give up this? I can't go and get drunk anymore. You can do whatever you want to. You just won't be able to do that and serve God. You can do whatever you want. Because the Bible tells us, look, there were 5 wise and 5 foolish. Not everyone in the church is going to be saved. You know, man, let's get that. See, it's important what we're listening to, what we're believing, who we're following. I'm telling you, every place that calls themselves a church, you don't need to listen to it. Pick up, because we're dealing with preachers in this chapter. Jesus dedicated this whole chapter to preachers preaching at churches. Pick us up, Melvin. Let me see where this verse is. It's in this chapter, and Jesus talked about verse 15. Yeah, let's go up to verse 15.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites.
Same talk now. Nothing has changed. He called them hypocrites from the first verse of this chapter to the last verse. He's making sure we understand. I'm trying to tell you, there are a lot of hypocritical people today still in the church. You better use godly discernment and judgment. You better use godly judgment. These are the weightier matters. I had someone tell me recently, it doesn't matter how you get baptized. That's not what Jesus said. See, these things matter. But you're saying things because you don't know. It matters. You don't realize just how much these things matter. Pick us up. Let's keep reading here in this verse, Melvin.
For ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte.
Mm-hmm.
And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves.
Now, here we are. He's talking to the Pharisees, people who were preaching and teaching and leading. He said they're blind leaders. And he told us in another place, if the blind lead the blind, let they both fall into a ditch. They're both on their way to destruction. Here he tells us again. He said, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, you guys are running all around the world. He said, y'all are taking boats. You guys are flying in planes just to make one follower. That's what a proselyte is. He said, you guys are trying to get someone to follow your teaching, follow your leadership, follow your guide. Look, every church around the world, the churches around the world are hoping to get somebody to follow. You better choose the right one, because you don't want to end up in a church like this where Jesus himself, now I didn't put it in this book. So you go back and read this for yourself. I didn't put it here. These are the weightier matters, though. You better use good, godly judgment. He said, you are running all around the world. I listened to a preacher. I'm not going to call anybody out. But I'm telling you this so you can make the right judgment call. You can make the right decision. I listened to a preacher. He was talking about how he had to buy. Please don't fall for this stuff. He talked about how he had to buy this expensive jet, because there was no way he was going to make it to all of these meetings. He had to get to all of these sessions where he had to preach to people. What is he preaching, though? I'm not against a preacher using a jet to fly across the world to preach, but what is he preaching? Jesus here, he said, they're running all across the world to make one follower, one disciple, and when he is made, he said, you make him twofold more the child of hell. He said, they on their way to hell. You've run all across the world to make this disciple, and they on their way to hell just like you. See, what's the point? I don't want this to happen to you. That's why we're having this conversation. That's why we're looking at these scriptures. Not so I can make someone look bad, but so that at the end of the day, we can be saved. Again, I'll say, the scripture declared five were wise and five were foolish. He's telling us half of the church is on their way to hell. That's the book now. Don't be upset with me. Take it up with God. I didn't have these things written. I'm a victim of this. But I made up my mind, I have to accept what God says. Somebody's going to use their own judgment and they're going to say, you know what? I just don't like that. I just don't believe this. That's your call. But this is, we better read that one more time, Melvin, so we can know what's going on here. You know what? Go up to verse 14. Let's go back to verse 14. We'll read on down again to make sure we're still talking about the same people. Because somebody might think we're talking about somebody else. Let's see what 14 said.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore, ye shall receive the greater damnation.
What you mean to tell me, even people that pray are still going to be damned, still on their way to hell? See, we can't. You've got to righteously judge these things. Don't look at, well, so-and-so, they sure know how to pray. We say, oh, they're a prayer warrior. You better not be fooled by this stuff. Just because someone can pray, here he's telling us, look, you guys are praying a long time, and still you're going to be damned. You guys are traveling across the world to tell somebody how they need to pray, to tell someone how they need to be saved, and you still aren't telling them the right thing. This, go back to where we started in 23, Melvin. We got to move here.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone.
Don't leave out the important things. You know, sometimes we feel that we're right with God because somebody says, I went to church this week. We keep a tally of we went to church. Somebody said, I paid tithes, I gave an offering. Somebody said, I clapped my hands and I sang a song. All of those you ought to have done, but don't leave the other parts undone. We've got to righteously judge these, as the Lord said. He said, have mercy. Mercy. You know, Jesus talked in one place. The question arose. The man asked him, who is my neighbor? And he began to talk to us about the story that we reference as the Good Samaritan. And Jesus talked about how this person went down from Jerusalem and how they fell among the thieves and how this person was beat and left there to die. And all of these people, and notice the first one he mentioned the priest, he mentioned all of these people who were supposed to be church folks. See, I'm telling you, five wise and five foolish. You don't want to be caught up in the category. In the end of time, God declares you to be a fool. There's so many stories running through my mind. I can't even finish one story before something else is in my mind. But Jesus, he told us about how all of these people supposed to be church people now, supposed to be saved and on their way to heaven. But when they saw someone in a bad condition needing help, those people, look, they cross over to the other side of the road. They said, that's not my problem. I won't have anything to do with them. They should have known to not get caught up. They probably did something to deserve that anyway. See, this is how we judge things. This is how we think about things. Use righteous judgment and have mercy. We know we're a people that don't have mercy. The moment we find someone has committed, in our judgment, a heinous crime, in our judgment, we say they raped, they murdered, they've killed people. No, they deserve hell. That's what we declare. But what did God say? He said, no, he's going to have mercy. Moses was a murderer. God had mercy. Paul had people murdered. He ordered the hit list. But God had mercy on these people. When will we have mercy? Because someone has lied, because someone has cheated, because someone has stole, because someone cursed, because someone did all types of things. At what point will we extend mercy? Will we extend grace to them? That's what Jesus was about. There was another man, I believe it was a Pharisee actually, went down in the temple. Two people were praying. He was talking to the Pharisees, I believe. It was two people who were praying. And this person declared, you know what, we should just go and get that, Mel. Let's go and get that. I think it's still in the book of Luke, chapter 18 and 10.
Luke chapter 18 and 10?
Yeah, Luke 18 and 10.
All right.
Yeah, let's read that.
Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican.
Mm-hmm. Same people now. See, I love this Bible because the more you put all these scriptures together, you get a more clear picture. See, somebody out there listening to me, this might not make a whole lot of sense to you because you haven't heard it enough. You haven't seen it enough. But if you would continue to search these scriptures, it'll all become so much more clear. The picture will become so much more crystal clear. He said there are two people that went up to the temple to pray. See, Jesus just told us about the Pharisees praying, making long prayers. And he said they're still damned because they're hypocrites. They're leaving out judgment. They're leaving out mercy. They're leaving out faith. At some point, we cannot, as people of God, continue to go to church and think we've did something. But we don't do the important things. I was saying that earlier. We go to church and we feel we're all right with God because we clapped our hand, we sang a song. And I've seen this happen many times. People sing a song, they say, oh, so-and-so is so anointed. How could they be if they're on their way to hell? How is that anointing? Judge righteously. The Bible tells me gifts and a calling are without repentance. Gifts and a calling are without repentance. See, judge based on what the book says, not based on what it appears. I've seen people come in, musicians come in, they don't care about God whatsoever. And they play the best music you ever heard in your life. They come into the church still smelling like cigarettes, still smelling like the Newports. And I'm telling you, they play Circles Around Me. And somebody's going to say they're so anointed on the instrument. And when the preacher gets up, they all get up too. The preacher gets up and walks to the pulpit, they walk, and the musicians walk outside to light another cigarette. See, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by things. And it's so easy to be fooled when you're not judging righteously. So Jesus now, he's telling us about two people who went up to pray. Read what the Lord said, Melvin.
The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican.
Now, even though, see, I just gave you an example about someone leaving the church to go out for a smoke break. You know what? I'm not foolish enough to realize that person don't deserve mercy. I'm not foolish enough to realize I've been to that place. I've been in that position before. Maybe I haven't did the exact same thing in the exact same example that I gave, but I'm no better. See, this is the mercy of God that he wants us to extend. As people of God, sometimes we forget we were once in that same condition. We talk about how, man, I just can't understand why so-and-so would do X, Y, Z. Why don't you understand you did it? Why don't you understand? What were you thinking when you were doing it? What were we thinking? It's foolishness for me to think, man, why is he going outside to smoke? And I've smoked before. No, I've just changed, but I can't look down on someone else now. Sure, I should be thanking God that I no longer do those things. But to the one who is, we're supposed to offer hope. There's a way out. God doesn't want you to live like this, wasting all your money. Can't think clearly. There's still hope for you. This is the love of God that he's wanting us to extend. But this is not what the Pharisees were about. So Jesus called them hypocrites. So he said, two people praying, the Pharisee, he said, Lord, I thank God. I thank you. I'm not like these other folks. There's folks right in here, right in this building. Look at them. I thank you. I'm not like them. But this man used to be. Read for us, Mel.
I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess.
You know, I've paid my tithes for a long time now, Melvin. And what does that mean?
That doesn't put me on some pedestal. That doesn't put me in a position where God now owes me. I can't say, God, I deserve to be saved now because I've been paying tithes. I fasted. God, I fasted more than... Look, there are people I've talked to about fasting. They think that's the craziest thing ever. Why would you choose to not eat? You mean to tell me you went that long with nothing? Were you sick? Were you in a coma? See, but even though I might have did some of those things where other people, they didn't, God don't owe me nothing. That's what I was supposed to do. See, that's what Jesus said. He said, those you should have did, but don't leave out the even more important things. Don't leave out the other stuff just because you fasted, just because you've given tithe. You should. Good job. Sometimes we want a pat on the back for things we should be doing anyway. We tell the boss, yeah, I was here on time. Good job. That's what you're supposed to do. You say, I was here all week on time. They say, congratulations, you got the same paycheck coming. That's what you're supposed to do. So when we come into God, he gives us things we're supposed to be doing. But we can't think higher of ourselves than we ought. We can't get high-minded in this thing. But this is what's happened to this Pharisee here. So he said he's fasting. Look, he's praying. He's paying tithes. He said, look, I'm not like this other person. Read for us, Melvin.
And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Man acknowledged what condition he was in. Now, before somebody take this and use the wrong righteous judgment, or unrighteous judgment, excuse me, before somebody use the wrong judgment, somebody's going to say, okay, see, I do consider myself a sinner. I'm okay. Hold on. This man here, this sinner, this publican, he's getting himself right with God. See, there are those of us who we've acknowledged we are a sinner. We've been saying that for 20 years now. Every day still saying I'm a sinner. At what point are you not going to be that? See, Jesus, when he talked to the woman who was caught in the sin of adultery, that's one of the sins this man pointed out. The Pharisee, he said, I'm not an adulterer. I'm not running around cheating on my wife. That's what the man's declaring to us. And you know that's what Jesus wanted? He didn't want him doing that anyway. That's what he told the woman that was caught in adultery. He said, go and sin no more. So how are we supposing to be the people of God still living in the same sins we've been living in for the last 15 years? That's not what he's looking for. These are the weighty matters. You've got to use righteous judgment. Use what the scripture said and change your life. That's what God is looking for. See, I'm not here to promise you you're going to be in hell. I'll leave that to the blind leaders, to the other blind guys. And they're going to tell someone, look, it's okay. See, this is what's happening. That's what the Pharisees are doing. They're telling people, it's okay if you do X, Y, Z. God still loves you. Sure, he loves you. But he's going to look at you and say, friend, how did you get in here? And he'll kick you out. So Jesus now tells us the sum of this story. Pick us up in the next verse, Melvin.
I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other.
This man was right with God, the sinner, because he realized, God, I've got to change. I know I've been doing wrong. I've got to do better. But what did he say about the Pharisee, Melvin?
For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
This is why it's important to not get too puffed up no matter what you accomplish. People become a doctor, they're puffed up. Being a doctor is a good thing. But don't let it get to your head. People get degrees. I've been in school. I've got degrees. But that don't mean anything. Doesn't mean, look, I've been in church. I can't tell you how many years now. I'd have to actually stop and think about it. Don't mean anything. I can be just as lost as the person
who's never been in church a day in their life.
We can't let anything puff us up.
I haven't drank in God knows how long. I can't even tell you how many years it's been. I'd have to stop and think, and I don't want to do that right now. It's not important. It's not important. The truth is, it still don't make me no better than nobody else.
The only way we can accomplish anything in this life
is by the power of God, by His grace and mercy. That's the only reason we're here.
So it's not about what I've accomplished.
I've got to continue to remember the only reason I've accomplished anything is because of God.
And that's the hope that we should be passing to everyone who might be in the condition that we used to be in. Let them know it's hope. Because God took me out of a condition I know I couldn't have got out of.
And He'll do the same for you. So Jesus said, look, you need to have judgment, mercy, and faith. Now, my time is about up. I really won't even be able to deal with the faith aspect. But Paul, in the book of Corinthians, he talked about having all of these things. How this person, he said, man, look,
even if
I bestow my goods to the poor, I'm helping people out,
I'm doing all types of things. If I don't have love,
he said, even if I have faith,
but I don't have love.
See, that's what it comes down to.
Loving one another. Loving one another, having that faith in God, believing whatever He tells us to do
is always going to work out.
Whatever He says is going to come out exactly the way He said it. Having this faith in Him, but don't be deceived
in thinking just because you say you have faith
that you're okay.
James said, the devil believes also. See, the devil has faith in God.
But the difference is the devil isn't going to do
what God said do. Don't leave out the weightier matters.
It's foolishness for you to hear the word of God and leave off doing what God said. Don't omit doing what God said do. So, it's good to say you've got faith in Him.
You believe in Him. The devil believes also. That's what the scripture tells us.
But do you believe in Him enough to actually do what He said do?
We need to have mercy. We need to have love for one another. We need patience for one another. Jesus said in one place, I was hungry and you fed me not.
Have we given anyone any food?
Have we fed anyone? Somebody said, well, I'm not rich. You don't have to be rich to go to McDonald's and buy the meal that you bought.
We haven't helped anyone. How can we say we have the love of God dwelling in us? This is what He wanted the Pharisees to do. This is what He's wanting us to do.
To display the same love that Jesus loved us with. May God bless you guys. But I encourage you,
don't leave out the important aspects of following God. Sure, go to church. Sure, listen to Bible studies. But you gotta do what these things are telling you. Do what it's saying in the Word. Don't leave out the important part. Don't be fooled and thinking it's all going to be okay.
You know, I'll leave you with this. God wants you. You know, the best business person I ever seen in this world is God. He's the best businessman in the world.
He's concerned about profits.
He said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul. You mean it? Look, God is concerned what you gain and what you lose. He's concerned about it. So don't spend your whole life hearing these things and never actually receive the benefit of it. And you won't receive the benefit if you don't actually follow what he said, because in the end, Jesus will sum it up and he'll say, you're a hypocrite. You're telling people about God. You're pretending to people as if you're following God. But when it comes to doing it, you've left that part and omitted it. So may God bless you guys. And may God stir you up to follow him wholeheartedly, because I don't want you to be as the five foolish who ended up lost. May God bless you guys. Back into the hands of Melvin.
Thank you, Minister Banks. Good message. As always, we have several more comments. Sister Rosie says, praise the Lord. Kim says, greetings to all in the mighty name of Jesus. Cynthia also says, praise the Lord. So praise the Lord to you three. Thank you so much for tuning in. David says, even Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Mike says, I would be completely lost without leaning on his judgment throughout each day. If I ever lost it, I'd feel like a ship without a rudder. Great conversation tonight, and we thank you so much for tuning in. Mike said, he also says, feeling so blessed that you both make personal sacrifices of your time each week. Your approach to discussing scripture is so unique. Thank you. And we appreciate the comment. We're just happy that we're able to reach people and to bring the true word of God out. So we appreciate you even more for taking time out of your schedule to spend some time with us, trying to, you know, hear what God is trying to get spread to his people. David says, we are free to make whatever choice we want, but we won't be free to escape the consequences of our choices. And that is so true. Let's see. He also says we have to follow the whole plan of salvation if we are going to make it and be saved, the whole counsel of the Lord. He also says, for we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but it's not the Lord's will that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance and be saved. Casey says, powerful lesson, brother. So thank you for tuning in. And Gene says, amen. And David also says, great words from the Lord Jesus. So thank you, everyone, for the comments and for tuning in. And Gene also says, keep sharing God's word. It is very important. Larry says, you can know every answer on the test, but until you actually take the test, you won't get a grade. Eternal life is for the doers, not those that just know the word of God. And that's true. We should be doers of the word and not hearers only, because we'll just be deceiving our own selves. And, you know, I say at the beginning of every live stream that we pray that you guys get something out of the message. But what I've been leaving off and what I need to do better on is saying, I hope that everyone finds a way to apply these things that we've learned, things that we've heard to our lives. Because I remember before, I could be fired up about a Bible study, and then, you know, after it's over, go back right back to what I was doing before. Remember before, I was trying to just live absolutely right. I would be having all kinds of music playing and then turn on gospel when I'm heading to church and be fired up about the message. And then I turn right back on my secular music, my other music, still on the church grounds, you know, and leaving. So I'm reminded of at my job and even in school, where we would do these practice drills. You know, we would have a lesson on what to do when a shooter comes in. You know, we need to do this, we need to do that. And the guy said, you know, whenever there's a school shooter or a shooter at a grocery store or something, just like the whole country, the whole world comes together and say, oh, we need to pray. We need to have a moment of silence. I'm reminded of 9/11. And then he says, but after a while, everything tends to go back to normal. We start not caring about this, not caring about that, not caring about our safety. And that goes the same way when we hear the word of God. We'd be fired up, but shortly after, We go back to our daily routine like it hadn't happened. So we need to apply these things learned and keep the fire lit. You know, I'm reminded of a song, "May the fire of my altar never run out." We need to keep the fire. I think we had a Bible study on something like that. Keep it going. So those are all of the comments, and that's all that I have to add. So thank you to everyone that has tuned in and left a comment, or if you just tuned in, or if you're going to watch this later or listen to it on the podcast. We appreciate you guys so much. As my weekly reminder to you guys, we do have Zoom Bible studies every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We would love to see you guys there. And as I always like to say, rejoice in the Lord always, because today's tribulations are tomorrow's testimonies. Count it all joy, count it all joy, and again, count it all joy. There's reason to be joyful in the midst of every single storm. If the Lord blesses and says the same, we'll see you guys next Thursday evening with another topic coming straight from the Word of God. Until then, you guys have a happy, safe, and blessed weekend. And thank you so much again for tuning in. Thank you for listening to our weekly Bible study podcast. We hope you enjoyed this evening's message. My name is Melvin Corners, here along with Minister Tony Banks. You can catch these Bible studies live on Facebook every Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time at facebook.com/JMSBible. We have Zoom Bible studies every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Also, check out our website at jmsbible.com. There, you can listen to all of our in-person, Zoom, and live stream messages along with every scripture we've ever covered. Lastly, we have been getting a lot of questions about how people can donate. We have finally opened up a Cash App if you find it in your heart to leave a donation, because running these Bible studies takes money, which Tony and I have been paying since we first started. That name is $JoyStorm12. We appreciate each and every single donation, no matter how small. And remember to rejoice in the Lord always.